Welcome back. We can go on with the consent items. So the first consent item, the motion regarding interim provisions to the internal regulations of student groups. With 20 consents and 6 debate votes, this motion will be debated. Second motion, the motion regarding the fall 2021 budget. With 25 consents and 1 debate, this motion will be debated. And then the motion regarding the absence of the SWU president with 12 consents and 14 debates will be debated. Okay, we can now move on to new business. Starting with the notice for a motion, number 11A, the notice for motion regarding amendments to the internal regulations of student groups. Councillor Kusa, would you wish to present?
Yes, sure. So affiliated political campaigns are not entitled to free room bookings or tailings in the UC, while full status clubs have up to 15 hours per week of free room booking in the UC and 8 hours of free room kiosk or tabling. And so this has severely obstructed the ability of APCs like Divest McGill, DHR, to host events, conduct meetings, and perform their activities. So if approved, this motion, which is a notice right now, would immediately provide affiliated political campaigns with up to 15 hours of free room booking and 8 hours of kiosk and tabling access in the university center. It would also enable them to receive financial and non-financial resources from the society in a more timely manner and allow for greater democratic oversight on how these resources are allocated. So I'd like to thank the Divest McGill team for bringing forward this motion to me and Hanya for us to sign on to. And I encourage everyone to vote yes on this motion to help advocacy groups get the resources they need to fulfill a mandate that they were given by either LC, a referendum, or a GA. So, thank you.
Thank you very much.
And just for clarification, speaker, so this is a notice right now, and are we going to vote on it after the notice? Is that what's going to happen?
So you submitted both a notice and a motion?
Yeah, okay.
So we assumed there was some tactical element to it, in that there was supposed to be a motion and a notice. And as such, since both were legally approved by steering, both were added to the agenda. Is that still the case? I see Councillor Javed has something to say. I imagine it's about these motions.
Yeah, so the motion, I believe the date is for the motion that will come after this is May of next year, but this notice has to be presented first, and then to make the permanent change to next year. So that's how, like in the standing rules, a notice is presented first, and then a motion. Next council.
Perfect. That's what we assumed. We assumed that there was some stuff with that because some changes with the internal regulations have some bizarre rules to them. With permanent versus non-permanent. Perfect. Glad we cleared that up. So this being a notice, we can now move on to the next motion. So next motion is motion 11B, the motion regarding interim provisions to their internal regulations of student groups. Councillor Kusa, you have the floor. I apologize. I have to interrupt you. I keep forgetting to give you a speaking time. It's a 3-minute presentation. Thank you.
Amazing. Me again. So I won't bore you with the same stuff I just said. So just vote yes on this motion because it would help advocacy groups do what they want to do, which they're entitled to because they're literally mandated to do so. Like by a mandate either given by LC, a referendum, or a GA. And this would just facilitate their operations much more. So I really, really invite you to vote yes on this. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We'll now be entertaining a 5-minute question period. All those wishing to ask a question, please raise your hands now. Vice President Sater, you have the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I was wondering why exactly the mover of this motion had not consulted with myself, since this motion mostly addresses financial concerns of the society, as consultations with the VP Finance, I believe, are required on any motion involving the finances of the society. To me, this seems like a great oversight.
Thank you very much. Councillor Kusa, you have the floor to answer the question.
Sure. May I delegate my my speaking time to Brian Baraga, or would that be not in order?
That wouldn't be in order at this time, as to answer the questions, the person answering the question should be either the mover or the seconder. What can be done is during the debate period following, Brian Baraga can answer.
Okay, perfect. VP Sater, I appreciate your concerns, and if this motion goes against, I mean, we would be able to talk about it if you vote no and if it doesn't pass. So, yeah.
Thank you, Councillor Kusa. I'd like to remind you all to please aim your answers and questions at me. What Vice President Sater, the way he expressed himself, was the proper way of doing it. This that way, we make it very non-personal. VP External, you have the floor for the question.
Would it be possible to actually yield my time to the Vice President's Student Life and ask my question after the Vice President's Student Life?
I'll allow it. Vice President's Student Life.
Thank you, Speaker. Why would this motion not consulted with the VP External, myself, VP Student Life, the Ancillary Services Manager, Clubs Committee, Service Committee? Why were these consultations not done?
Thank you. Councillor Kusa, do you wish to have the floor to answer?
That is a very good question. To be completely transparent, I'm not the one who drafted the motion, and I apologize if no consultations were done. Can I ask a question? Or
no, you cannot ask a question back to somebody. That can be, again, it can be done in the short debate period following this this question period. All right, Vice President External, you have the floor.
Thank you. Considering that this motion not only affects the current financial state of the society, but would clearly affect the operational aspect of the external and student life portfolios, why are there no sustainability considerations listed on the motion? None whatsoever.
Thank you. Councillor Kusa, if you wish to answer.
Thank you for your question. I don't have an answer at the time for you. Sorry about that.
Thank you. I also must say, I'm sorry I keep only targeting you, but if Councillor Javed would also like to answer, either or. Vice President Sater, you have the floor.
Thank you. Mr. Speaker, in the appendix, if we scroll down, there is a reference, I believe, to the Vice President of External Affairs. Much of the appendix is focused on essentially preventing the Vice President of External Affairs from having any discretion on the allocation of funding, and on the and making essentially a difficult process that would go through legislative council through which funding could be denied and would limit my own position's ability to deny funding. Given my constitutional right and requirement to authorize or unauthorize any expenditures of society, could the mover of the motion, Mr. Speaker, please explain why exactly these changes to the IRs are attempting to override the Constitution, something that internal regulations do not have the authority to do?
Thank you. If you wish to answer, Councillor Kusa or Councillor Javed?
Thank you for your concerns. Councillor Javed, would you like to answer? I don't have an answer, to be honest, so.
Thank you, Councillor. We have time for one more question. Councillor Wan, you have the floor.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker, and thank you, Councillors Kusa and Hoggett, for providing this motion. I just want to ask why this motion seems to be creating a greater distinction between affiliated and non-affiliated political campaigns, and if you can list the current affiliated political campaigns so I can get an understanding of who this will affect.
Thank you. Councillor Kusa, do you wish to answer?
Yeah, I think I didn't really get your question, but I think it's divest. I think they're listed divest, CHR, and the democratization group, I believe.
Thank you, Councillor. With this comes the end of our question period. If I do get a motion to extend, we can extend it. If not, we'll be entering debate period. So before we enter the debate period, is there any motions to extend? Please raise your hands now. Vice President Student Life.
Motion to extend question period.
That is in order. How much time?
3 minutes.
That is in order. Is there a second to this motion?
I'll second.
External? Perfect. Is anybody opposed to an extension of this question period? Councillor Saad?
Yep, I oppose.
Okay. As such, we'll have to be entertaining a vote on this motion. So give me 1 second. I think I prepared a simple poll. All right. So you'll be prompted with a simple poll on Zoom. You can vote yes, no, or abstain.
Sorry, can you repeat the question? So the phrasing of the question, so I know what yes, no means.
So sorry, you're absolutely right. This is a motion to extend the question period by 3 minutes. I have been notified that this poll allows non-councillors to vote. As such, if the amount that have participated reaches a number that is above the amount of councillors in this room, I will be forced to proceed with another method of vote. I would ask that non-voting members of this, non-voting gallery members, do not vote on this poll. It is one of the consequences of using Zoom as a platform. And as such, it would be massively unpolite to use this opportunity to screw with our democracy, for lack of better terms. Perfect. So poll has been ended. Now, if you would please give me a minute, I must count the amount of councillors in the room. So we have more votes in the poll than we have councillors currently registered as present on the attendance sheet. As such, we'll be proceeding with vote by hands. I do want to, for lack of better words, I want to berate the people who have voted without having their right to vote. That it's just extremely unfair and unpolite. I ask that you refrain to do so in the future. I don't know who you are. That's also a problem. But it is what it is. It's not nice. You should feel ashamed of yourself. All right. With this, we're proceeding with a hands vote. All those in favor of the motion to extend by 3 minutes, please raise your hands now. Thank you. You can put your hands down. We have 6 votes for. All those against the motion to extend by 3 minutes, please raise your hands. this motion clearly fails, we will be ending the vote here. As such, the question period has ended. We'll now be moving on to debate on this motion. All those wishing to speak, please raise your hands now. Councillor Kasi.
Oh, sorry, that was an accident. I didn't lower my hand.
No worries. I'll give you all a second to adjust your hands. Councillor Wan.
Thank you. So first, I'm kind of confused and concerned. First, I'm concerned because the movers of the motion weren't able to already respond or explain to many of the questions asked in the question period. Secondly, the execs weren't consulted on this motion, and it largely affects their portfolio and how they manage part of their roles. And furthermore, I'm worried that this motion appears to maybe a manifestation of a dispute between maybe some political campaigns and the execs, and perhaps it should maybe be resolved internally instead of being pushed as a motion to Legislative Council. So as such, I can't really vote in favor of this motion at this time, since it doesn't seem to be well formulated currently.
Thank you. I once again forgot to mention the speaking time. You will all have a 1 minute speaking time unless I get motion to amend that speaking time. Vice President Sater.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm honestly incredibly disappointed in this motion. It's absolutely shocking that this was even presented to Legislative Council. The fact that the mover and the seconder were completely unable to answer very basic questions about the motion is honestly a little bit debilitating. And the fact that it's clearly also coming originally from a member of the gallery here, Brian Braga, who was previously president and has such a lack of understanding of governance procedures that this motion directly contradicts the Constitution, is honestly baffling. I'm assuming Ledge Council.
I'll have to call you to order, Vice President Sater, to please retract that comment.
I retract my comment, Mr. Speaker. And as a whole, honestly, this motion is unworkable and will simply be unconstitutional anyway and unenforceable. So I am also confused at what the purpose of this motion is at its core. I will maintain my position within the Constitution and do the acts that I am prescribed to do within the Constitution. No matter what passes with this motion, it does not override our most foundational governance documents. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Vice President. Brian Braga, you have the floor for a minute. You're muted.
Thank you. Hello, councillors. My name is Brian Braga. I'm here on behalf of Divest McGill, one of the SSMU's affiliated campaigns. I regret the inability for the movers and the seconders to answer your questions to the best of their ability. They didn't have too much of a hand in writing it, but I would like to thank them for taking the time to present this to the Legislative Council. I know my speaking time is limited, so I just want to offer up the possibility for councillors to ask their questions once more, and I'm more than happy to answer them to the best of my ability. This motion is important to Divest McGill because in the past we've come into difficulties with being able to access the society's resources. I can go more into it, but that's the genesis of where this motion came from. Thank you.
Thank you very much. All those wishing to speak, please raise your hands now. VP External, you have the floor.
Thank you. And thank you very much to the movers and seconders for clearly wanting to support affiliate campaigns. However, I would like to reiterate not only how inappropriate it is that such a motion is moved without the consultation of the relevant SMU departments or any SMU executives, let alone the relevant executives, as well as the fact that the writers of this motion did not take the time to go and see that actually the IRs of student groups are currently being edited, and this is an ongoing project that the Vice President of Student Life has been taken on for the last few months, essentially rendering her work ineffective and overshadowed. At the end of the day, the society is a not-for-profit organization, something that I would expect a past president to understand, meaning that we have a very limited campaign's budget. The fact that the spending of this budget is at the discretion of the VP External and the VP Finance, I would hope the past president...
Thank you, VP External. I would like to remind all the speakers to please, first off, address your debate to me. Once again, I cannot believe that I have to reiterate this. Secondly, I would like to insist on watching your language because you're talking to me. If you're going to talk bad to me, that's not good. Don't do that. I didn't do anything to you.
Mr. Speaker.
Thank you. All right. We'll now be moving on to our next speaker. VB Student Life, you have the floor for a minute.
Okay, so we have been amending the IRS of student groups for the past 3 months. This is a lengthy process. We've been doing consultations, and this motion was supposed to be presented for next semester. So I believe that we can work together to ensure that all your opinions and suggestions are included into the amendment. So I was really shocked when I saw this motion. I was like, what is this? What? I'm not going to give anyone a hard time, but I don't think the movers are prepared or did enough consultations at all to move this motion. So I would recommend to do something in regards to that, and we can talk about it and we can apply your suggestions with the proper channels. I think that'll be best.
Thank you. Brian Buraga, you have the floor. Oh, Councillor Kusa, you have the floor.
Yes, so Smooth Speaker, I understand that we have not completed the necessary consultations for this motion, and for that I apologize. However, there is no need to be rude and impolite to the movers and the seconders who wanted to amplify the voices of advocacy groups on campus. So I would ask BP Sater to apologize because it's quite frankly super rude. I would like to thank BP Student Life for being super respectful, and I will be glad to meet with her to discuss her IR consultations. And I'd like to point out that that is how we correct people. Mr. Speaker, thank you. Being a counselor is a learning curve, and we're not perfect here. So thank you for having a little bit of empathy.
I don't know if you guys can hear the timer. Thank you very much, Counselor.
Point of order, Mr. Speaker.
Yes, Counselor Saad.
I was wondering if the Speaker would be amenable to a motion to move straight to voting.
I would, in the case that this debate period was not over. But the debate period has just rang on my phone, and that means the debate period is over. I would like to thank Councillor Kusa for reminding the committee, reminding the council of the proper way to speak. You've all been councillors for a semester. You've had time to develop a chance to speak with each other and debate on contentious topics. I ask that you have compassion to your fellow councillors and some amount of respect for the members of the gallery that spent some night out of their night, Thursday night that he can spend doing whatever else, to come here, ask questions or talk. I require that you please respect these people who spend some time to discuss. It's not okay to use the type of personal and direct attacks that we have seen, and as such I will ask that just calm the language down. The attack the motion all you want. Don't attack the mover, don't attack the seconder, don't attack people who are involved in the motion. All right, with this, our debate period has ended. I will be taking motions to extend. I know Councillor Saad, you wanted to call for calling the question, which is what your motion would have been, since this happened before your call to call a question, I'll send be taking motions to extend if there is such. VP External.
I would actually like, if it's in order, to motion to postpone this motion indefinitely until proper consultations are completed.
That is in order. 1 second, please. So would it be postponed to the next meeting or postponed indefinitely until there is a proper consultations?
According to my consultation with the governance manager, it would be indefinitely until the proper consultations are completed.
That is in order. Is there a second to this motion? So please put, you have a point of order. If you have a point of order, simply you can shout it out. There's no need to send it to me in chat. My chat is open, but it might be hard for me to reach to it.
Thank you. Yeah, a point of order. So the motion to call the question was presented before the motion to postpone, so that must be fielded prior to the motion to postpone.
The motion to call the question was never considered because the debate had already ended. We had already entered into like the motion period. If there's an insistence from Councillor Saad, I can consider the motion to call the question. But I believe the motion to call the question was insisted upon because we were in the midst of a circular debate. Councillor Saad, am I right, or would you prefer me to keep the motion to call the question?
No, honestly, you're right.
Perfect. Councillor Wong, would you like to call the question?
No, since the motion to call to postpone indefinitely was called before my motion to call the question, because the original call to question or call the question was invalid.
Perfect. But do you still wish the motion to call the question? Okay. As such, let's go back to what we were doing. Can we get a second to the motion to postpone until enough consultations have been done? Thank you, VP Student Life. With this, if there's no other motions on the floor, we'll be entertaining a vote on this motion. Not on the motion regarding term positions, on the motion to postpone. All right, this vote is a two-thirds majority vote. As such, we'll be doing it both hands as well. As we've seen last time, the voting form does not work. All those in favor of postponing this motion until proper consultations have been done, please raise your hands now. Right, keep your hands up. We have 21 votes in favor of postponing. You could put your hands back down. Thank you. Can we have the votes against the motion to postpone? We have one vote against. As such, the motion to postpone passes. Forgot my wording. But definitely passes. And this motion will be postponed until a certain order has been reached, and this certain order is that enough consultations have been committed. With this, we can now move on to the next motion. This next motion is the motion regarding the fall 2021 budget. Vice President Sater, you have the floor to present for 2 minutes. Before you present, I apologize. I want to make it clear that there was some confusion with the timing for presentations and the question period. The timings are put in the standing rules, and per the standing rules, it is 2 minutes to present and 5 minutes of question period. I've even been confused by it. Last time I said 3 minutes. It's 2 minutes to present. I just want to make it clear. You have the floor, Vice President Sater.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just before I begin, I had a question. There was a presentation that was associated with the motion in the appendix as discussed, I believe, with the steering committee. Will I also have time to present the presentation or no?
Yes, so the presentation, thank you for reminding me. Has the presentation been added to the document? If not, we can take a two-minute recess to just find it.
The presentation is, it's in the appendix.
Appendix, could we scroll down possibly, Jazz? Okay.
It's the fall 2021 budget.
Will you need more than 2 minutes to present the presentation?
Probably, yes.
How much? More or less.
5 to 10.
By chair's discretion, I'll give you 5 minutes. And if this ends like in the middle of your presentation, we can have a quick motion to extend. Is that fair?
Fair.
Perfect.
I'll try to move quickly.
Would you prefer to share the presentation, or would you want?
It would probably be easier, yes, if I share.
Perfect, so we can have you share.
There we go.
Before we move on with the presentation, I apologize for interrupting you once more. Were people able to see a timer in the previous period, debate period, and question period? If I can get just,
I was never able to see a timer.
Okay. I want to make sure it wasn't just my screen, because myself and the parliamentarian have been trying to get a timer up on screen. And the parliamentarian was certain it was up, but it was not. Okay, we'll try to get it for after this presentation. Thank you. You have the floor, Vice President Sater.
Thank you, Speaker. So hello, everyone. This is the fall 2021 budget review. Generally, this happens in October, but due to operational concerns and the fact that I wanted this budget review to be more accurate, the Board of Directors delayed it until the end of November for this presentation. And so I'll be presenting the budget review very quickly and going over exactly what has changed. So essentially, this is us taking the budget, looking at the actuals that we've actually received from McGill and making changes on our operational side. This is all available in the numbers that are provided in the Excel sheet, but numbers can be a little confusing, especially if you don't have much experience with pivot tables and the way that it's presented. So I thought it would be best to have an actual presentation here. So I'll be briefly going over the smooth budget structure, the process that we use for the creation of this budget, and then essentially the considerations that we look at and the main changes. So the smooth budget structure, essentially, SMU has over 80 departments. We have general departments, we have general ledger accounts, and we have restricted funds. I don't have time to really go in depth on this, and I apologize, but essentially we have an operational budget. We use that money to fund our department's operations. And then we also have restricted funds that we use to fund specific things like the club fund or the Shatner building fund. And then we have GL accounts, which generally have categories of things. So for example, food and beverages would be a GL account. And these kind of combine to make all expenses fall into both a department and a GL account. These are the list of departments, and these are the lists of GL accounts. And yeah, essentially, if anyone's particularly interested, the numbers don't really mean anything. They're just shorthand. So the process for this budget revision. So the 2021 budget revision was drafted in collaboration with, well, myself, the accounting team, the managers of the society, and the officers of each department. The idea was to make changes based on the existing budget, based on the actuals that we've seen over the last 4 months, so our expenses, and as well as what we received from the student body in fees, and in the general needs of the society evaluated by the previously mentioned managers, departments, and officers. It was originally meant to be presented in late October, but the BOD extended the deadline because I needed a better picture of the financial reality before making it, especially because we're now transitioning back in person. And the finance committee was briefly consulted in early November to get a preliminary idea of what should be included. I would have liked to have a second meeting with them. However, timelines did not work, but I will be working closely with that committee for the 2022-2023 budget that we'll be writing in January and February. So the major considerations I was looking at was, number one, we're a nonprofit organization. That means we require a balanced budget. We can't have profits year after year. Number two, budget surplus and shortfalls. So the accruals, based on our predictions of what we're going to do in winter and what we actually do in the fall, we'll actually have $300,000 more in revenue than was predicted because we had a very conservative estimate because we didn't know how COVID would affect enrollment. However, there were some glaring mistakes in the previous budget, notably a non-existent prediction of $100,000 revenue from events, which was likely a mistake from the separation of GERTS and events into different portfolios. And many courses, due to us coming back in person, the operations department is overflooded unless many courses could not have in this year. So we did not get revenues from many courses this year. There's the always existing uncertainty of GERTS. It's a new bar, so it's very hard to predict revenue and expenses. Revenues seem to have been more in line, if not better, than what we predicted. But at this point, expenses are actually quite hard to be certain of. So I had to take that into account when writing it. Finally, staffing requirements. Our staff is overworked, always has been. And so the main priority with the surplus was to hire more staff to better distribute the work. So the major changes, number one, revenues from the general membership fee. So we received $1.4 million for fall 2021. We use an accrual rate of 92%, which historically has been more or less accurate, which means we predict almost $1.3 million in revenue. As such, we predict a total revenue of just over $2.7 million for the year. The big mistakes in the previous budget or errors or different comparisons, as I said, about $100,000 produced come from event rentals over the year. This was based on pre-COVID estimates and are not even close to being reached this year. So I just removed this from the budget. We also spent $60,000 less on salaries this summer than was budgeted for. So that money has been reallocated. And many categories were off by a few thousand each month based on last year's projected budgets. However, they generally cancel each other out. So rather than sit down and micromanage every single thing, I just tried to make sure that our projections were as accurate as possible moving forward. The changes, mini courses. So due to the switch back in person, the events and operations department has been overexerted. Such mini courses have to be put aside for now. Hopefully they'll be coming back soon. There's a chance they are back in the winter, but since it's far from certain, I simply removed the entirety of mini courses from the budget, as it is a revenue generating institution. This, if anything, makes us a more conservative estimate. After that, the change is GERTS. So GERTS' opening has been very successful. So sales are a bit better than we predicted. Events are happening at a rapid pace and safety measures have been tested, as we saw a couple of weeks ago, and they worked quite well. However, some lingering logistical considerations have led a lack of clarity on expenses. It's hard to predict what a bar is going to spend month by month. When it is reopening, things break, things come up, issues show up. And so I kept our revenue projections the same and I had about a $5,000 a month cushion. So predicting that we'll be spending $5,000 more than initially budgeted a month for expenses. Also GERTS opened in September rather than the originally projected in June. So I had to remove the first 3 months of revenues and expenses from GERTS, which also led to a reduction in the overall revenues of society. Finally, the changes to new staff. The new staff hires will help us fulfill our mission and continue to provide quality service. These are the staff members that we are hiring and looking to hire as mentioned in the budget. So the GERTS administrative assistant has been hired. The full-time translator, which was originally budgeted to be hired in January, was hired in October. So that has happened. And then we are looking to hire a full-time graphic designer, an equity and policy specialist for human resources department, a human resources coordinator full-time, a governance coordinator, and an events coordinator. Hopefully this will help our staff get access to more help. I guess conclusion, important notes. The revised budget comes with a deficit of $26,000. This is a small and very manageable deficit, notably because SMU, we tend to underspend our budgets all the time. SMU never really runs a deficit. And so I felt very comfortable with this as well. We have a $466,000 surplus from last year, thanks to COVID, because our expenses were much lower since things were not in person, which allows us to have, we have a buffer in case we do indeed run such a deficit. It's important to also remember budgets, even revised ones, are projections and not actuals. So we often undershoot our budget expenses. XCOM and the BOD has the power to make expenses and add expenses to the budget. And the SMU landscape can change quickly. And as such, we need to be able to deviate from the budget to keep everything running smoothly. So this is not, a sacred text. Like, we will move away from it as needed, but this is our general projection for the rest of the year. Even if staffing additions are numerous, we have to keep in mind these hires will only begin in January, and that's only cost us 5 months of salary for this budget. And in line with that, for the coming year, will ideally be able to fund it through a membership fee increase rather than rely on past surpluses. That's just unsustainable. While I do think these hires are very sustainable, we are in a unique situation this year. As I'm sure many people know, inflation has been quite rampant in Canada this year, almost reaching 5%. And so we need to be able to increase our membership fees to match that inflation, especially because all our salaries are pegged to inflation. I have full faith that such an increase is both affordable and necessary and will be accompanied with a full budget as the nature of where such an increase is going. And these staff increases are also in line with the five-year plan. The structure is kind of our long-term plans for society. Although not all these positions were included originally, as it hasn't been updated yet this year, and it's something that we're currently working on. And that's it for me. I stand for questions.
Thank you very much, Vice President Cedar. All right. We'll now be entertaining a question. Is this a presentation on the entirety of your motion?
Yes, I can go over the motion as well, but all the information that would be found in the motion was found within the presentation.
Perfect. Okay, so if we can get the motion up, we'll be entertaining questions on the motion. Thank you. All right. Is there any questions on the motion? Please raise your hands now.
Quick question. Can everybody see the timer now? It's right here.
Yeah. I can see it.
Okay. Awesome.
Thank you, Jazz. All right. With this, is there any questions on the floor? Seeing none, we'll be entertaining motions to vote. We'll be entertaining debate questions first. Apologies. Anybody else, anybody wishing to speak, please raise your hands now. Now we'll be entertaining motions to vote. Councillor Saad?
Yep, I move.
That is in order. VP External?
Seconded.
Perfect. You'll be able to find the voting form, as always, on the voting directions document that everybody should still have access to through the chat or through your normal channels. Should be open for responses now. Everybody good with accessing the document?
Nope. Give me 1 second, please.
Of course. 1 second.
Perfect.
So I put the link to the voting directions sheet in the chat once more. Remember, this is number 2 in the 4 links on the document. Good with everybody? Okay, yeah, I see the vote response is going up, so I'm going to assume everything's good. So I'll give you all 30 more seconds to fill in your vote. All right, with this, our voting period has ended. With 24 votes in favor and 1 abstention, this motion passes. All right, with this, we can now move on to the next motion, motion 11D, the motion regarding the absence of the SMU president. Councillor Saad, you have the floor for 2 minutes to present your motion.
Thank you. Okay, so basically, as we've been discussing for the last few months, the president has been absent from most of his duties. If you can scroll down a bit more, we have on record, various instances of him just not being present and not attending the meetings he's required to attend. I know everyone here is very familiar with the situation. So we can just keep scrolling down. The executives also, when asked about this, were not able to answer or declined to answer. So thus, it was difficult to get much information, and I feel as though Legislative Council is very much left in the dark. But at the end of the day, this is the last Legislative Council before the end of the semester, so I feel it is of very urgent nature to, carry out this motion. And so the president, needs to represent members in the student body, which he is not doing. We're currently unaware of whether or not he's being paid, but at the end of the day, we need to hold the executive accountable. And that's a main, motivation for this motion. So in terms of risk factors and resource implications, as I mentioned, he is supposed to have a salary of around $32,000, but also there's just the general lack of leadership from his absence, not to say that the other executives haven't been doing a good job, but there is a position that is vacant. Now, if we can scroll down as well, this is a really not sustainable situation, especially since it allows for, this situation to potentially replicate itself in the future. So it's a dangerous precedent to set. And essentially the motion is to call on the board of directors to initiate a special general assembly per section 13.2 of the SMU Constitution. After that general assembly happens, we'll present a motion to essentially hold a school-wide referendum to vote on asking the board of directors to initiate an impeachment if no letter of resignation is received within 48 hours of the ratification of this motion. Looking forward to all the questions and debate. Thanks, guys.
Thank you very much, Councillor.
Alex, can I take a moment to say something here very quickly? So changes were made after the steering committee reviewed the motion. So I'm not sure how that works out.
I think there might have been a miscommunication with Councillor Saad and myself, which may have led to this. Councillor Saad, was that the case?
So I can jump in right here. There was a little bit of miscommunication, but essentially I didn't touch the motion. The only modifications that were made on my end were just the suggestions here. So nothing of the actual writing of the motion has changed. It's purely just the suggestions I added in a preemptive nature, as I knew that some people might bring up these comments within Legislative Council. So it's just to kind of get a little head start, I guess, but nothing of the actual motion should have changed.
Perfect. So Councillor Saad, in the future, do not even add comments onto the motion. I think I noticed in my inbox that I got a notification that you were adding comments right as we were starting. I will ask that you don't do that. The message we did communicate on was a message to be read before the presentation or after in its entirety. That's what I believe was a miscommunication. As such, if you still want to read it, go for it. If not, I will read it out. But in general, don't touch the motion once it's been sent to steering, unless there's an explicit instruction from steering committee to edit the motion that goes to everybody within this room at the time.
Understood. Thank you for the clarification, and my apologies for that. I definitely can read the statement if you'd like.
You have the floor.
All right. So in light of this motion, the speaker wishes to remind the council that all motions approved by the Legislative Council must be ratified by the Board of Directors before standing as actionable items for the society. Any deadlines thus begin by the date of ratification, and any reference to actions by the Legislative Council also inherently include the Board of Directors. It must also be noted that as the Legislative Council does not have jurisdiction over the employment status and other HR matters concerning society employees, this motion can serve only as a suggestion or a calling for changes to employment status.
Thank you, Councillor Saad. And just to make it clear, the reason this was a shared message between myself and Councillor Saad, so I wrote it and Councillor Saad said it, was to make it clear that this statement was agreed upon by all parties involved within this motion. All right, we'll now be entertaining questions on the motion. All those wishing to ask a question, please raise your hands now.
I don't have a question that is particularly about the motion, but can these comments be resolved?
Yeah, so if you can you refuse these comments? Because apologies, Councillor Saad, but we're really not allowed to touch the motion once it's passed through steering.
Right.
Once again, my bad.
No worries. Thank you, Parliamentarian Cow. Vice President Pooley.
Yeah, I just have a procedural question now. So yes. With some of the changes made, this motion is no longer constitutional. So would that mean that, because now it doesn't say that it calls upon the Board of Directors, it says that the Legislative Council does this. So it's no longer constitutional. So would this have to be moved?
So on the contrary, there was no changes made. We just reversed changes that were proposed. If you're calling the constitutionality of the motion into question, what we can do is have the steering committee call for a short break, in which the steering committee will go into a breakout room and discuss the motion further, according to some pinpoints. The motion has been reviewed by steering, and according to our first run at it, we do find the motion currently constitutional as it stands. We cannot find anything within the Constitution that this would violate. But if you were to call out a specific instance within the motion, we can definitely review it and make sure that we arrange it. So I'll be taking any procedural questions about this now. If it's a question about the motion, put your hand up. But if it's procedural, we can take it, just to make sure we can get through the procedural stuff. VP External.
Thank you. According to section 10.6 of the Constitution, an officer may be removed from office through a two-thirds majority vote of a general assembly called by the board of directors, or as presented by the board of directors. In the motion or resolution for approval, the third paragraph be resolved that the Legislative Council calls for the president to submit a letter of resignation within 48 hours. Then it goes on to say that should no letter of resignation be submitted by the president, the Legislative Council calls for a special general assembly. However, the Legislative Council does not have those powers. How will this be addressed?
Thank you, VP External. So as this is a procedural constitutional question, I'll be addressing your question. At the time, with the statement read out by Councillor Saad, we can assume that any mention of the Legislative Council calling on something means the Legislative Council through the Board of Directors calling on something. So in this case, it would be Legislative Council through the Board of Directors with approval of Board of Directors calling a special assembly, as everything that passes through Legislative Council does not become law until it is approved by the Board of Directors. As such, these things need to have a sort of mutual consent. This was the result of the steering committee discussion on this motion. VP External.
Thank you. Yeah, I just had a quick follow-up in the last part of motion or resolution for approval. It says that it would call for a university-wide referendum to impeach this new president. As per my reading of the Constitution, the impeachment of an officer would actually be at the Special General Assembly, whereas the Special General Assembly would not call for a referendum, but instead just directly vote at that meeting. Am I right, wrong? What's the deal?
Give me 1 second. So is your problem with this last clause that the Special General Assembly would automatically be calling for an impeachment by its nature? Like it would be called for the impeachment, so it wouldn't need to have a motion submitted?
From my understanding, a motion would be submitted to the General Assembly in which there would be a debate, a defense, et cetera, et cetera, but the General Assembly wouldn't motion for a referendum for the impeachment. The General Assembly would just have a motion for impeachment presented at that meeting, during which time, if quorum of 350 members is met and 2/3 vote in favor of the impeachment is effective immediately without needing to go through the referendum process.
Thank you. I do see the problem there. As such, I'll be taking the questions currently on the floor, and then I will be calling for the steering committee to meet outside in a breakout room for just 2 minutes to confirm with them that this reading of the Constitution is shared by the committee. If it is not, we'll have some further discussions on it. Is that good with you, VP External? I'll take it as a yes. Councillor Tiniakos.
Yes. So because Councillor Saad, who's the mover of the motion, had already pretty much agreed to making some changes, could we not just simply motion to submit amendments to the motion and then just solve the constitutionality issues raised by the executives that way?
That would be in order. That would be like the proper way of doing it. The reason why you did remove the comments was just to make it very clear that these need to be submitted as amendments. Like we just don't want a repeat of the situation where councillors modify the motion after it's been through steering. We've had it done before. In this case, the modifications had to be done, through like the suggestion function. We've had cases before where councillors modify the motion without telling us through the normal modification. And as such, the motion is no longer valid. We cannot present it to Legislative Council. And it happened that we only found out after Legislative Council that the motion has been modified. If you remember, there was some confusion. That situation, it was not malicious. It was just a miscommunication. But we just want to make it very clear that there is these limits. But Councillor Tiniakos, you are more than available. You are more than allowed to present these amendments once we're done with question period and we enter into the debate period. Just to make it clear, it seems like VP External Delivery had some internet problem. It was not him ignoring my call. So at this time, Councillor Saad, unless it's a very pertinent question, I'll be calling for a two-minute break where I'll be taking the steering committee into a breakout room. That way we can discuss motion, the problem with the last clause. Councillor Saad?
So it is rather pertinent. So just following Councillor Tiniakos's comment, all the, I guess, modifications that I had proposed, I can like rewrite them right now in like 2 minutes. And then if we could just kind of move on those amendments, I don't think we would necessarily need to have a 2 minute break. I'm familiar with the amendments that I had written and I can just reproduce them in a few minutes.
If you are able to present these amendments, we can give these amendments during the debate period. The one thing is that the motion should not have been presented with constitutional problems, which is why we need to fix them before we even entertain questions on the motion. But the rest of your amendments, definitely, if you want, while we are discussing, you can rewrite them up in a separate format and then send them in and we can add them. Clear?
If they could be emailed, that'd be great.
Even better. Email to myself, the parliamentarian, and the governance manager.
Sorry, quick clarification. How would I email amendments?
Write, like, write them up as a like different document with the name of the motion, or just even in the text of a email.
Yeah, all if right. You can mention the section that you're referring to and where you'd like the amendments to be made, that would be super helpful.
Will do.
Awesome. At this time, by chair's discretion, we'll be entertaining a two-minute break, and I'll be taking the steering committee into a breakout room. Is there any opposition? Okay.